So I want to start off by saying Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you all. And turn to the person next to you and say Merry Christmas to one another. So as we're thinking about this Christmas season, we're in the season of Advent. And give you a little bit of background of the Advent. Advent is a season of preparation for coming of Jesus, and it's a celebration of what Jesus brings to this world. There's four attributes that he gives us, hope, peace, love, and joy. And what we want to look at during this season of Advent is what Jesus will bring to us. And in the coming weeks, that's what we're going to explore. And today, what we want to talk about is having the peace of Christ. Now, when we think about peace, anxiety is what we call the opposite of peace. If you're under deadline, we're very anxious. If you're under pressure, if you want to learn the results, we often get anxious. And what the Bible teaches us that Jesus brings in our lives is not just peace over our anxiety, but peace over our whole lives. And what we do in the future to know that Jesus is there reigning in our lives to give us peace in our lives. And I think that's what we all seek. Is that an amen? And what we want to look at is start out with the peace that Jesus brings out. Now, when we think about Jesus' peace, the peace that Jesus gives us, we cannot understand. In fact, if you look at John chapter 14, 27, says, peace I give to you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives, but do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Notice here, the peace I give to you, I do not give to you as the world gives. So this peace that Jesus is talking about is differentiation between the worldly peace and godly peace that Jesus gives. And if you look at Philippians 4, 6, and 7, now those of you who are anxious, this is a great verse to remember. We can read it all together. Let's read it all together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Notice here, the peace of God, or another way to put it is, which transcends all understanding. So this peace we're talking about is not the way the world sees peace. It's a peace that transcends all understanding. And the promise is this, the peace of God will guard you from any anxiety attack. The peace of God will guard you about your future. How many guys are worried about the future? Don't worry, God is there guiding you. Okay, the peace of God will work in your relationship. Some of us have a lot of brokenness in our relationship, and the peace of God will work through that. And he says, if you pray, he'll do that. And so, what is the mission of Jesus to this world? When we think about the peace of God, is to bring peace to this world. And there's, if you look at the definition of what peace is, what we want to look at is six definitions that the Bible talks about in terms of peace. Now, here's the Greek word, eirene. And eirene is often used a lot of times when people greet one another. Ho eirene in the Paul's epistles. That means the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension shall be with you. But there's six definitions behind this peace of God. It's used between nations where they are at peace with one another and there's no more war with each other. Second definition, the peace between individuals where there is harmony and agreement. Third definition, it is used for security, safety, prosperity, because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. The fourth definition, the Messiah's peace, the way Jesus leads peace through salvation. And the fifth definition is Christianity, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with his earthly lot of whatever sort that is. So basically, if we put it in human day language, we're talking about peace, where you're just at peace with everything that's going on, regardless of how hard it is, you know, you're tranquil, you're at this state of mind where everything's really cool. It doesn't really bother you. This kind of tranquil kind of situation. But the sixth definition is the blessed state of devout and upright men at their death. So when we die, being at peace. So this word, ho irene, has like six definitions to it. Now in this text, when we talk about irene, we're going to look at definitions 4 and 5. In Luke chapter 2:14, when Jesus is born, the angels say, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. And then in this text, when the disciples meet the resurrected Christ, the first words that Jesus says is, peace be with you. Now, what he's saying is this. Peace is through your relationship with God, when the angels were declaring in Luke chapter 2. And then later on, when he resurrects from the dead, he says this. You have peace with God. Now, as you look forward in living your life now, you have peace. And if you look to the future, you'll have peace. You know why? I'm with you, guiding you each step of the way in all that you do. Isn't that wonderful? And that's why Jesus says, peace be with you. It's an assurance that in his birth, he promises peace in the relationship with God because of our brokenness, because of our sinfulness. And then as we look forward, he says, as you live life, I'll be there with you, guiding you through your turmoils, your family problems, your careers, your future, everything that you do, I'll be there. And I will guide you through that. So peace be with you. Say it to someone next to you and say, peace be with you. With that intent, okay? Is there only one person? Say it to more people and say, peace be with you. Amen? Yeah, yeah. So, peace be with you. So there's three levels of peace that Jesus is talking about here. One is your relationship with God, peace with God. In what ways? We need to understand that when Jesus came to this world, he came here to reconcile us. What kind of reconciliation you're talking about? When Adam broke his relationship with God. Now, when we talk about sin, sin is not just doing bad things. Sin is just saying, I don't need God in my life, and I'll do it my way. Now, what's wrong with that? Okay, if you think about it, I'll do it my way makes a lot of sense to us. But however, we need to understand, it breaks God's code of creation for you. He created you to have a relationship, and we're saying, I don't want that relationship. So for instance, a car is created to what? To transport us. And the car says, I don't want to transport you anymore. That's what sin is, going my own way. And thus, there's eternal separation from God. And what Jesus came to this world is to reconcile us with this attitude. So if you look at Hebrews chapter 9:15, it says, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. What is he saying? Christ came here, restore the relationship. And then if you look at Hebrews 9:27, just as people are destined to die, once we face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, that we may reappear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So what he's saying is this. Because of our going on our way, we have eternal separation. That's called death. And Christ came to reconcile that eternal separation. And what he's saying is, my death on the cross is going to give you eternity in terms of relationship. How many guys like relationships that are really good? Okay, how many guys don't like tense relationships? Okay, what God is saying is, I'm going to give you a good relationship that is eternal. That's my promise. And that's what I'm going to do for you. And so God's invitation is Christ coming down here and hanging on the cross. So why sacrifice on the cross? But that's a good question, because for me, non-Christians don't understand what it means Christ died for my sins. What does it really mean to us? What that really means is he got to make it right. So like if a criminal commits a murder, what do you need to do? Go to jail, right? To pay for your restitution. In the old times, if you were committed for burglary, you had to work to pay off the burglary. Okay, in the Muslim nations, they have no mercy. They just chop off your hand so you don't steal anymore. But if you look at this, there needs to be somebody who's got to pay for this brokenness, this disobedience. And Jesus says, okay, I'll be here. God becomes a human being and dies on the cross. Why? Because he got to pay for it. That's why if you look at 1 Peter, for Christ died for sins once and for all, the just for the unjust, having been put to death in the flesh, but came alive in the flesh. What that really means is Christ came on a mission to bridge the gap of enmity between humans and God. And the way he's going to do that, he's going to die for us. And when we talk about dying, what he's going to do is take your separation and bear it to the cross and say, I'm dying for you. So the one level is to have peace with God. And if you experience this freeing experience of relationship with God, the ultimate result of us having Christ dying on the cross for us and receiving Christ is freedom from guilt. You know, I hate feeling guilty. I remember when I was younger, you know, I used to feel really distant from God. And my solution was read the Bible and pray. But I still felt distant from God. You ever felt that way? And I do everything that's necessary for me as a Christian. Lord, you know, witness, do this, do that, in the hopes that I can be close with God. But that's not happening. And I feel so guilty. And the freedom of guilt is this, that you're loved, you're cared for, no matter what. And he accepts you. And when you know that, that God has forgiven you, we do our best to live out our life. And even if we do sin, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive you and cleanse you from all sins. You're forgiven. You don't need to live a life of guilt. The other part that God brings when we talk about relationship, first is peace with our relation with God, but it's with ourselves. As I shared before, it's peace knowing your unconditional love, peace knowing that you're forgiven when you confess, peace knowing that he loves you no matter what. And what that does is builds confidence. You know, I can look at myself at the mirror and say, man, I'm really handsome. You know that you're handsome? Men, you know that you're handsome? There is no one who looks like you. And you know you're pretty. You know why? There's no one looking like you. So why are you so uncomfortable the way God has built you? You know, I don't mind the strawberry nose. I don't mind all this and this. It's beautiful in the eyes of the Lord, isn't it? And sometimes you wonder, why does this really pretty woman have this ugly-looking guy? She thinks he's handsome. And he thinks she's pretty. Do you see what I'm saying? God created you to be beautiful. He wants you to feel comfortable about yourself. And to know that you're forgiven is a freeing experience. And you have this peace about who you are. And God works not just spiritually, but emotionally, and makes us whole. And he's telling you, like Psalms 139, he created you. And there's no one like you. There's no one like you. There's nobody like you because you're special. Do you know you're special? Have the peace that you are. If you don't think you're special, you're lying to yourself. You know why? God thinks you're special. So don't deceive yourself. But the third part of practice of peace is this, our relationship with one another. So many people are broken because we don't relate too well with people. How many guys have relatives you don't like, or your parents told you not to talk to them? You guys got that? All right? And Jesus says this in John 20:23. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you not forgive them, they are not forgiven. What is he saying? Jesus is saying, look, be at peace in your relationship with one another. Because when you're not at peace with your relationship with another, there's too much turmoil. There's too much unsettledness that just makes it difficult for us to live our lives. I was talking with a friend of mine, and I don't know about you, but older generation have shared with me the same thing. I experienced it myself. The patriarch, the mother or the father, says to the kids, I want to rank who's my favorite kids. You guys ever went through that? Some older generation have. I have gone through that, where my mother literally told me, my brother's number one, you're number two, my sister's number three, my brother's number four, my oldest brother's number five. Now, if you're number five and you're the most least liked in a family, what does that, how do you feel like? It's crappy, don't you? And you feel angry toward your parents. A lot of the dysfunctions are created because the way sometimes parents treat us, the way we perceive their treatment, and the way we treat our parents, or even relationships with one another. And what had happened was, my friend was telling me, we're talking a similar story, like about being in the same pecking order, you know? And he was number one in his family, and he had a family of, you know, six. And he was talking about how his brother, who was last in the pecking order, felt so alienated. And I don't know, we're born. One thing I want to share with you is we're born to love. And when God created you, he created for a yearning to have attention, a yearning to be valued. And God values you. Do you know that? And when you are told by a parent that you're not their favorite, that's really unsettling, isn't it? And this is the reason why I have a policy among my four kids to tell them I love them equally. And in fact, I have this rule in my family. If any one of our kids gets the same type of opportunity, all four has to get the same thing. Why? Because if we don't, it will hurt people. And so I was having this conversation with a good friend of mine who has experienced similar experiences like I've had with my family. And he was telling me that he had to talk to his brother. Why? Because of this pecking order, everyone floated to the number one favorite child. And his brother, who's the least desired, who's number six, felt so hurt and alienated. And so what he did was, after his mother passed away and the parents were no longer there, he just wanted to make amends. Because there's so much built up anger toward not being loved. It destroys, favoritism destroys. And the only power that could create this amend was the power of God. And how did it happen? Eating. They ate together. And while eating and having social bonding time, he confessed, says, I'm really sorry that I sided with the number one. And just was part of his team, not you. You're just loved by God just as he loves me and the number one best child. Can we make amends? And it's emotional, right? When you try to make amends, and the amends were made, and the end result is there's so much more appreciation of one another. And when Jesus said, peace be with you, he didn't mean to have no peace with one another. He wants to have peace with everybody, even your siblings, even your uncles, your aunts, your cousins. They are God's children, and God created them to be loved and to practice love with one another. So peace be with you in your relationship with one another. So that's the third level. And so how do we get this kind of peace? How do we get it? Well, You cannot get it on your own. The world says you could. They give you practice meditations to get that. You know, some people say, you know, you have to do some chants or close your eyes and be at peace. And sometimes it works. But over time, it's very difficult to control stress. How many guys get stressed out easily? It's really difficult to control things that is not in your hands. Your future, people, your outcomes, we cannot control that. Your relationships, you wanted a great relationship, but sometimes we cannot control that either. And when it goes out of your hands, no method always can control it. And some people feel that they need to program you to learn how to have peace. Many years ago, I was part of this group that was preparing meals for the shut-in and the elderly. And I'm very much a time-oriented person. And I went there, hey, nothing was set up. In about 30 minutes, there's going to be a crew of 30 to 50 people who are going to come. And I need to set up food and things that are distributed and packaged for the elderly in a sequential way. So I had to create a U. Nothing is there, so I'm just moving really fast to get all these things. This woman puts me aside, hey, you're too anxious. Now, hold your breath, go, count, one, two, relax. And I'm thinking, hey lady, I gotta get this done. 15 minutes, it's not about me not being anxious, I just get this done. And she goes, but you gotta do this. I said, girl, I didn't say it to her directly like that, but I have peace within, so don't worry. Okay? I just had to get this done. And as I thought about that incident, I was thinking, some people think you do this kind of exercise, you'll be calm. That's not going to help. Because there's certain things we cannot control. There's certain things you cannot take over in your life. You need something that is a greater power that can help you to control. And you cannot control anxiety sometimes. You cannot control the way people behaves. You need a greater power. And what's interesting is in this text, the 11 disciples are gathered together. It says they locked the door. Why? They're fearful that the Roman authorities and the Jewish community is going to come after them and might kill them. They heard the resurrection of Christ, but they're anxious. They don't have any peace. And what's interesting is, Jesus comes to them. The door was locked, but Jesus went through and was there. The second thing we see is they were afraid, and Jesus comes to calm them down with the words, peace be with you. And in that process, what Jesus is doing is this, as I said before, I'm with you. I understand your anxiety. I understand your fears. I'm with you, and I'm in control. Do you want to take my offer? That's what he's saying. You heard I resurrected. I'm here now. Do you want to take my offer of this peace? And what he's saying is, you need to come to me. You need to go to God. Peace comes when we invite God to take control of our lives. It's to say to him, Lord, I can deal with this on my own. Lord, this is beyond my control. And I'm going to trust that you're going to take control of my life. And through this, it's all going to work out. I just surrender. I'll do my part, but I'm just going to surrender. I'm going to allow you to work in my life. And that's how peace comes. And what God needs is your cooperation. And if you cooperate, His power will come and control your anxiety. His power will transcend all understanding and calm you down. And you'll be at peace. So, how do you maintain this peace in your life? Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ richly dwell within you. Richly dwell in you, or rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. Philippians, remember? And the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then verse 12, I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. What is Paul saying? I've learned the secret. You know what that secret is? Letting God take control of your life. Remember, through prayer, Lord, I can't handle this relationship. This is way too much. You take control. Lord, I didn't study for the finals. I'm guilty about that too. Go. I'll do my best. You take control. This job, it really sucks. I hate this job. Help me to overcome this job that I hate. You take control. And if it is your will, find me another job, Lord. I'm going to look for something. This is what God needs to do in your life to allow Him to take control of your lives. And these are the three things we do when we're anxious. First is allow the living power of peace to come to you. Let the peace of God come to you. And what that really means is allow Him to take control through Lordship. But the second thing we do is allow the umpires to throw out the things that causes trouble in your life. What do you mean by umpires? Right here, when he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your life, he's referring to umpires in the Roman games. The umpires, to keep order, would throw out troublemakers because there was like gladiator games, you know. People go out of control, so they would throw them out. Well, what are the troublemakers that brings peace in your life? Well, worry, anxiety, overthinking. Let the peace of Christ throw that out. After all, I can remember your finals. I don't remember any final except one final question. Why do you deserve an A? That's the only question I remember. I remember all the contents you studied. Probably not. Except for law people, you should remember those things. Or doctors, whatever, in professional schools. I'm nervous if you don't know how to do the procedure, man. You know, you don't remember from medical school. Throw it all out that gets in your way. Throw it all out. And just say, Lord, take it out. So let the umpire, who's the umpire? God, Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, take out this anxiety. And then you need to participate. Instead of worrying against, you pray, Lord Jesus, take out this anxiety. Oh, I'm still anxious. I'm worried about this and this. What are you doing? You just said lip service. If you really want, throw it out. Follow through with your action by not allowing that be part of your thinking anymore. Change the subject. So you're anxious about something? Change the subject. I leave it up to God. He's going to take care of it. I need a break from this. The more I think about it, the more stressed out I get. Just change the subject and allow Him to take control. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to be at a lot of peace in your life and with God and with one another. How many guys came to the pastor's dinner? Okay, did you guys like the food? Did you know that Esther and I got this done in 2.5 hours? All the food. I think we had about, is that 3 hours? How many hours was that? More than an hour. Oh, you did your part. So my wife always corrects me. I like a wife like that. Correction. My part, I was anxious. Let me tell you why. I had some people cook steak. I taught them how to cook steak. But I had to make this noodle dish. And I was so anxious because I got to get it done. And when I'm under pressure to get it done, I just try to move as fast as I can. And people are coming in already. I'm saying to the Lord, all right, I'm really anxious. May your peace rule in my heart. It's okay if I don't have to make this food. But if you could, I'd like to make this food. And I don't know how God worked, but I would literally say in about 10 minutes, I got this dish already. And was ready to serve. And the process that went through was this passage. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. How do I do that? I'm not going to worry about whether it's going to get done or not. I'm okay if it's not prepared or not. Life practice. I'm okay, let's say for students, if I get a C, it's all right. I'm a C Christian, it's all right. Okay? And this is lessons learned, and next time I won't do it again, right? Or with your job situation. Industry, a lot of mistakes are made because people don't admit that they made the boo-boo. Own it up and say, I made a mistake. And leave the results to the Lord. Or your future, I'm okay. So it's a minute situation, but this is biblical practice. I'm okay if the dish isn't done. But I'm going to try my best. So I started doing my best and washed my hands and started mixing the noodle dish with my hands. Do you know that sushi tastes good because they use hands, you know? And I said to the Lord, make this taste good, spicy noodles, you know? And put this and this, and didn't even measure cups, just put it in and just mixed it up and then served it. And lo and behold, that was all gone. People took it home, and I was so happy. What did the Lord do? Let the peace of Christ rule. So I surrender. Let God take control. Leave the results to the Lord. And I walked away very peaceful about it. Every single life, whether that's minute or major, if you leave it up to the Lord, let Him take control, then rule over your heart and pray. Don't be anxious about anything. So you say, Lord, I'm freaking out. You take control. The peace of God will guard you. Whatever the result will be, you'll be at peace. Do you believe that? That's the meaning of Christmas. Jesus came here to give you peace and live the life in peace. So when Jesus resurrected from the dead, He said, peace be with you. That's my prayer. Peace be with you. Amen. So let's surrender that to the Lord and let God take control. So let's practice scripture. So the Bible says, if you're anxious, surrender. So how many of you guys are feeling anxious? How many people are feeling about uncomfortable about the future or relationship? Surrender. Let take God control. And know that Jesus is there with you to go through all of that. But I don't know how to make the money. God will guide you through. He'll lead you through. You believe that? So let's pray. Lord, we surrender. We put everything under your control. And we know that, Lord, what we have, so, you know, put in your hands in front of you, two hands right in front of you, pull it out and say, this is what I have that gives me no peace in my heart. So it could be family relationship. It could be your circumstances. It could be whatever. Okay? Do you see that? And now we're going to surrender. Let the peace of Christ rule, right? So we say, Lord, you take control of that. And I believe your word. And God's word is this. And God will work out everything for good for those who love Him. Romans 8:28. Do you believe that? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, not for harm, but for good. Do you believe that? And no matter what the outcome is going to be, Lord, I'm in your control. Do you believe that? And I'll do my best to allow you to take control. And then just lift it up like you're throwing it away. And say, God, you take control now. Did you do that? Yeah. That feel good? And so, Lord, the peace of God that transcends all understanding now descend upon us, Lord.